Thank you and be seated. What a great joy it is to welcome you on this August Sunday morning to Conyers First. I'm John Byers, and I'm delighted you're here. If you're a guest in our presence, we're especially happy that you are here. Would you take a moment and find the white connection card in your worship folder? I would simply like to know that you are here. Would you fill out the front side and then hold on to the card, and at the end of the service, I'll make reference to the back side. Hope you'll also look at the back of your worship folder for just a moment. I am so proud to serve a church that takes congregational care so seriously. There listed on the back of your worship folder is a list of many, not all, but many, many, many of the caring pastoral ministries that we offer to this church and to this community. I particularly like the last one, the countless untold stories of individuals who love on each other. They see a need, and they're called by God to meet the need. No big fanfare, nothing published in the bulletin, one heart serving another heart. Because we have a large and growing congregation, pastoral care is a priority for us. And this morning, I am calling forth these fine servants that you see at the front of the worship center to commission them as our pastoral care team. Are you aware that we serve 14 different hospitals? From Athens to Covington to Conyers, Gwinnett County, Henry County, Madison County, and nearly every hospital in the metro Atlanta area. In order for us to be able to respond to you, particularly when you have those crisis moments, I have asked these servants that are senior staff members of our church to join me as a pastoral care team. Each of them has undergone intensive training by Dr. Bob Gary. Bob is a pastoral care pioneer in the United States, formerly chief of chaplains for the Emory University Hospital System, professor of pastoral care at Candler School of Theology, and adjunct professor in the Department of Psychiatry of Emory's Medical School. We had a tremendous time working with Bob. Bob continues to support our pastoral care team with monthly follow-ups discussing the challenges around pastoral care and how we might be better equipped. This morning, I am presenting each of these senior staff members for you to join me commissioning. Now, one is missing. We are in the process of discerning a new youth minister for the life of our church, and that person will also undergo training and be a part of this team. But I want to introduce you to each in case you don't know them already. On the far end, Steve Hester, our Minister of Music, Gail Haney, our Director of Lay Involvement, Debbie Golden, our Director of Evangelism and Church Membership, Stanley Davidson, our Children's Minister, Robin Payne, our Director of Spiritual Formation, and my right hand, Renee Farah, who is the best executive assistant any preacher could ever have. Renee does so much to coordinate my life and the life of our church that I deeply appreciate. I want you to know that each of these persons has been trained, each of these persons is authorized, so that when you have a need, the church is able to reach out to you. Each day, a senior staff member has primary responsibility for pastoral care that day, including the weekends. And because we are tightly knit together in a confidential relationship, after a visit is made, we share with each other what's going on in that person's life so we can be praying, because I want to know as much as possible what's happening in the hearts of the people that I love and that I serve, so I can support you and I can pray for you. I hope that you'll open your heart to these six very fine people. Open your heart to the seventh who will be coming, I hope soon and very soon, and welcome them into your lives as a part of our pastoral care team. Now, because I believe in the power of offering blessing, and I believe the Bible indicates that the right hand is the hand of blessing, I'm going to ask you to join me in commissioning these six servants by personally reaching out to them in faith, personally asking God's blessing to rest upon them, and personally opening your heart to their love and care as we pray together. Would you extend your hand to them? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we take seriously your call. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. How I thank you that you have placed within each of these a caring heart and a committed spirit. Each of these has studied to show themselves approved unto you. And now we're asking, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit upon them, that they might be extensions of your healing grace through the pastoral care team of this great church. We thank you for their commitment. We open our hearts to them, and we ask now that you would give them grace and courage and strength to be our pastoral care ministers. We thank you for them, and we bless them now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you just join me in affirming them for their willingness to serve you? Thank you, and you may be seated. This morning, we're beginning our 2013 Stewardship Teaching Series, which I've entitled, Give God Away Into Your Life, Plant Your Seed of Faith. Seeds. Hey, did you get your seed packet this morning? I am so grateful for a group from our stewardship team that took these little seeds, have you got them? And put them in each little packet and licked them closed and attached them to 600 worship folders for this morning's service. Would you open up your seed packet, trying not to spill them all over the worship center, please, and just take out the seed. I think that they are little sunflower seeds. Not much to look at. Doesn't seem to be very important. But when planted in the right soil and by the right person, this which appears little becomes much in a miraculous way. Now, we know that from the miracle of nature. But I've learned the same concept of seeds applies into the spiritual life as well. We call it seed faith. From the opening portions of the Bible, God speaks about the principle of seed faith in Genesis chapter 8. Now, all of humanity has been affected by the fall of Adam and Eve, terribly corrupt people. God finds one godly man named Noah who collects a remnant from the earth and saves them through the ark. The rest of the earth is flooded. After God sees the faithfulness of Noah, he makes a promise. These words are recorded in Genesis 8, beginning in verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of human beings, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as earth endures," verse 22, "seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." It is a principle not only of the natural world, but of the supernatural world. Seed time and harvest, planting and reaping is a vital concept in the Christian life. Jesus talks about the power of seed faith when in Matthew 17, he tells the remarkable story of the mustard seed. Now, we considered putting mustard seeds in all of your seed packets. The problem would have been you wouldn't have been able to find them. Mustard seeds, which I have in my office, are nothing more than little specks. Think about Thanksgiving time, and grandmother makes those poppy seed rolls for you. You know about the size of the poppy seed on the top of the... Well, that's a mustard seed. And yet Jesus tells us that even a seed as tiny as a mustard seed produces such an abundant, overflowing harvest. Mustard plants in the Holy Land grow and grow and grow. They are the Israeli equivalent of kudzu. You just can't get rid of it. Well, I don't have mustard seeds because I wanted you to have some seed to actually hold. But Jesus says in Matthew 17, truly I tell you, if you have faith, seed faith, as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move here, move from here to there, and it will move. Now get this, connected with seed faith, nothing will be impossible for you. I want to begin a series of teaching messages today about the power of seed faith in your life and be specific across these weeks about planting seeds of faith in the soil of your soul and see what God, the Master Gardener, will do. Here's a thought that's very insightful. When we put our faith in God's hands, like a seed we plant, we are giving God something to work with. We're giving God the raw material of our own life to cultivate and work with. And He will send the answer to the greatest needs of our lives. No matter how small our faith may be at the beginning, that faith is enough, tendered and nurtured by God, to meet every need and solve every impossible problem of our lives. It is the principle of seed faith, and I believe in it. I believe in it because it's biblical, and I believe in it because it has changed my life. The principle of seed faith is not only seen as the promise of God to Noah, but it's seen in a dramatic way in the life of Old Testament Abram. Old Testament Abram was an old man married to an old woman named Sarai, and God makes a promise to the old man named Abram, you are going to be the father of many nations. Yeah, right. Abram and Sarai were approaching 100 years old. As a symbol of the covenant of God's promise, He changes their names to Abraham and Sarah. Sarah laughs in the face of the Almighty. But Abram allows the seed of faith to be planted in impossible situations. And there's a sense in which we're all here today because the seed of faith blossomed through Abraham. Paul comments on this experience of seed faith in Romans 4. I hope you brought your Bibles with you today, and you'll look with me beginning in verse 16. Romans 4, 16, Paul wrote, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offering, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. Note this in verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Now note with me verse 20. It's worth underlining in your Bibles. Yet he did not waver through unbelief. That powerful tool of the devil. How many of us have been victimized by the devil's tool of unbelief? Abraham did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, regarding the word of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. That is why it is credited to him as righteousness. Years and years ago, I came across a commentary, a book by Kenneth Copeland. Maybe you remember Kenneth Copeland from television. And an excellent devotional, From Victory to Victory. And he makes this insightful connection between Abraham's seed faith and ours. He writes, Abraham ignored the natural evidence around him and believed only God's promise. I wonder what kind of transformation could truly, honestly take place in our lives if we really could look beyond the obvious around us and truly, truly only believe God's promise. Somewhere he stepped across the line of faith. He made an irreversible decision to go with the word of God. He made a final commitment. He chose to step past the point of no return. And if you and I are ever going to see God do the impossible in our lives, we're going to have to do the same thing. How do you draw that faith line? Begin with the word. Begin in faith and trust by planting the word of God in the soil of your soul and see what God will do. He says, search the promises of God and purposely believe what God has said and is saying about your need. Abram did that. He believed God when all the evidence was to the contrary. Meditate, secondly, on those promises. I love this thought. Until faith rises into your heart. Meditate, claim, pray through, stand on the promise of God until it begins to grow and lift you and encourage you and embolden you and empower you. Draw it in your mind and heart. Draw the faith line across the floor of your prayer room. Say, in the presence of God, in the presence of all the angels in this room, and in the devil's face, I am stepping across the line of faith. From this moment on, I consider this matter done. Now, from this day forward, I give God the praise and the glory in the name of Jesus. That's the essence of seed faith. Looking into the face of what seems to be impossible and planting the word of the impossible conquering God in your heart and see what he will do in you. Our own John Wesley had that experience in his life, and not many years after he came to personal faith in the risen Lord, that he knew that his sins were forgiven, that he knew that he had tasted of the Holy Spirit. He writes in his famous treatise, An Earnest Appeal, he writes about the liberating power of seed faith. He says, By this faith, we are saved from all uneasiness of the mind, from the anguish of a wounded spirit, from discontent, from fear and sorrow of the heart, and from the inexpressible listlessness and weariness, both of the world and of ourselves, that we had hopelessly labored under for many years, especially when we were out in the hurry of the world and sunk into calm reflection. In this we find the love of God and of all mankind, which we had elsewhere sought in vain. This we know and feel. and therefore cannot but declare, this faith saves every one that partakes of it, both from sin and misery, from every unhappiness and every unholy temper. John Wesley found in seed faith a release from all that had kept him from living a life worthy of the Lord. We're here because of Abram's seed faith. And if you're a Wesleyan and a Methodist as I am, we're here today because of the seed faith planted in John Wesley's life in the midst of what seemed impossible. It was possible with God. The question is, how through our faith in Jesus Christ can we plant the seed of God's word in our lives? Well, of course, I encourage you to listen to sermons and Sunday school lessons. Of course, I encourage you to read the Bible yourself. Of course, I encourage you to in-depth study. But I think sometimes we need tools to help us get right to the heart of the promises of God and plant specific promises in our lives. Many of you are familiar with Joel Osteen in Houston, Texas. Admit it, you've watched him. Now, I know he's roundly criticized, an inch deep and a mile wide. He and his wife, Victoria, appear on the stage, and he tells us something funny. And then he opens the Word of God to us with a sense of hope. But before he opens the Word of God to us, he has his congregation gathered together to make a statement about the Word of God. Have you ever watched? Have you ever seen the mantra that the congregation shares in? I really like it. Here's what he and his people say about the power of the Word of God. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I believe that. Or at least I want to. Desperately believe that. But how? Last week I made reference to an outstanding tool for planting specific promises in your life. And I encourage you to get one of these tools. It's marketed under lots of different names, but the general name is the Bible Promise Book. You can buy them in paperback at most Christian bookstores or Amazon.com for really no more than $4 or $5 each, unless you want to go for the bonded leather edition, of course. You can get it in every translation from the Bible, but it topically breaks down the promises of God into the topics, the issues that you and I face on a daily basis, and gives us clearly marked out eternal promises of God. Promises of God that we can plant in our hearts by faith. Promises that we pray into our lives. When you feel dissatisfied, condemned, confused, depressed, when you are lonely, I'm just flipping through my Bible promise book. Hey, when you're discouraged, anybody here ever experience the devil's fiery dart of discouragement? Let me show you how it works. You take God at his word, as Abram did, as John Wesley did, as the great saints of the church have, and plant it in your heart. I like Psalm 138:7, which says, now this is about discouragement, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch forth your hand against the anger of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. Now, I can't help but think forward to the New Testament. We refer to Jesus as sitting at the right hand of God the Father in glory. When I'm discouraged, I pull out this promise from God, and I speak faith right in the face of the devil. And I say, Lord God, you know that I am walking through the midst of trouble. Lord, you know what I am up against. You know what is against me. You know who is against me, and you know that I've been a part of this process. Lord, I take you at your word, your eternal promise that you will revive me. Lord, I thank you that you are reviving me now. Lord, I take you at your word that you will stretch forth your hand against my enemies to silence them. And Lord, I rejoice that your right hand, the Lord Jesus Christ, will save me. I don't know how you're going to do it, and I don't know when it's going to come to pass, but Lord, I trust you. I take you at your word. And as I said last week, I believe nearly nothing pleases the heart of God than when you remind God what God has already said. Hey, if you're a parent, don't you get kind of amazed when you tell your kids something and then they actually do it? You actually hear them say it? Maybe you've got older kids now who are becoming parents, and suddenly they're doing and saying to their kids what you did and said to them 30 years ago. How does that make you feel? It catches your attention. I believe we gain God's attention and favor when he hears what he has promised and when we live it. I don't know what you're up against right now, but I know it's something. I trust you're here today because you want to plant seed faith in your life and grow from a little tiny mustard seed into something that blossoms and flourishes, that has the capacity to feed and encourage others. Those who are less strong than you can hide under your branches, can be strengthened by your presence. And I believe seed faith begins when we choose to allow the seed of the Word of God to be planted in our minds and planted in our hearts. May I encourage you quickly this week, go to your favorite Christian bookstore, get on Amazon.com, and order one or several Bible Promise books. I bought a new one this week, 199 Bible Promises for Men, which is right next to 199 Bible Promises for Women, which was next to 199 Bible Promises for Teens. You'll find them everywhere. Pick one, a translation that speaks to you, and start planting the specific promises, the specific seed of the Word of God in your heart. Live it like Abraham did. Live it like John Wesley did. Whatever the external circumstances, and see, anticipate what God will do in you and through you. Now, I invite you to come back next week as we continue the series, because next Sunday we're going to talk about planting the seed of, ready? The seed of, are you ready? The seed of forgiveness, the greatest single barrier to our spiritual growth, the seed of forgiveness. As we conclude our service this morning, I invite your attention again to the back of the white connection card. I'd be so honored to have you underline the eternal promise from Genesis 8:22 that as long as earth remains, the principle of seed time and harvest will not end. Planting the seed will always bear fruit. Maybe you're really struggling with something right now and you need the promise of the Word of God in your life. I'd be so honored to pray with you on Wednesday of this week, believing that God does want to plant a seed of faith in you. Maybe you've been visiting with us for a while. We'd love to have guests. Members are better. We'd like to have you part of your family so that when you are in crisis, when you are in need, we can minister to you. We can claim you as our own, and one of our excellent pastoral care team members and I can be a source of hope for you. Our band is going to come back to the stage to lead us again with anointed music. I invite you to complete your connection card. Then I invite you to prepare your morning offering. I see the offering in the Christian tradition, firstly, as a letter of thanksgiving to God. God, I thank you that you've been so good to me. God, I thank you that you're working healing. God, I thank you that you're working blessings in my life. God, I thank you that you have saved me personally by the blood of the cross. But I also see our offering as planting a seed for someone else's salvation, a seed for someone else's redemption, a seed for someone else to become whole and strong in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll give you just a second to prepare your offering, to complete your connection card. Then as the ushers come forward, I invite you to drop them in the offering baskets. Throughout this series and the weeks to come, I look forward to seeing what glorious things God does in and through you. Receive now the benediction, God's good word for your life, and the seal and the sign of our sure salvation, the cross. Now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace. Perfect peace. I claim this now and declare it in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and good morning.